Mark chapter 4. We're going to read some of this text, and I'm sure you've noticed as you wander through the New Testament that so often the disciples, they just don't get it, do they? You know, for you and I, with hindsight, we see what's going on, but they miss it all the time. This is one of those instances where they miss it, and Jesus is very patient, and he teaches them lessons, doesn't he? And here we are in Mark chapter 4. This is one of them. You and I are going to go this morning on a little journey with Jesus as he unveils one of the most essential lessons that he gives, I think, to the disciples. So, Mark chapter 4, and when it begins, it opens verse 1. Again, he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered. So we know where he is. He's in Galilee. He's in home territory with his own people, and he's actually enjoying quite a measure of, what do we say, success, that sort of thing. Now, verse 35, the end of the day. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. Other boats were with him, and we know about the storm and how he went to sleep and so on. But let's read what happened when he went to the other side, chapter 5, verse 1. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him, out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He lived among the tombs. No one could bind him any more, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he wrenched them apart, and he broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out, cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. Crying out with a loud voice, he said, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." He was saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Verse 14. The herdsmen fled, and they told it in the city and in the country all that had happened, and the people came to see what it was. They came to Jesus and saw the demon-possessed man, the one who had the legion sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. They were afraid. Those who had seen it described to them what had happened to the demon-possessed man and to the pigs, and they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed begged him that he might be with him. He did not permit him, but said to him, "Instead, go home to your friends. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." And he went away and began to proclaim all across the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone marveled. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, yes, I said a moment ago, the disciples so often just didn't get it, did they? But that's not what really concerns me. What concerns me are the bits that I don't get, you know? There's plenty of blind spots in me, in us as well. And we need Jesus to begin to teach us. We need some learning experiences. We need to go back to school. Well, here he is, as we read, in his home territory, teaching. Crowds were large. Everything was successful. I suppose the disciples were thinking, this is great. You know, we gave up our jobs and we've followed this man, and now look what's happening. Isn't it great to be part of his team, to follow this rabbi? And then, did you notice the strange statement that Jesus made at the end of the day? Verse 35, he said, "Let us go across to the other side." The other side of the lake? Was he just wanting a bit of a rest and a retreat somewhere where he could get away from the crowds for a while? Well, we might think so, but no. The other side was an area to the south and east, known as the Decapolis. That's the Greek word for 10 cities. This was enemy territory. These were pagan people. No Jewish rabbi would ever go there. That was a solid tradition that went back to the time of Joshua, when God said he would drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and so on. Those seven nations who were driven out, where did they go? That's where they were, in the Decapolis. Acts 13:19, he overthrew seven nations in Canaan and gave their land to his people as their inheritance. And so now they are on the other side. They had settled in that region. Well, there were good reasons why you didn't go there. The place was full of pigs. Well, we just read that, of course. And actually, pigs were worshipped. They were seen as a sacred animal on that side. And there was also a lot of pagan temples. The place was filled with it. Archaeologists are still discovering some of them. And they had cults, and their practices centered on sexuality, violence, and wealth. Also, in that other side, there was a legion of Roman soldiers, 6,000 of them, disciplined, brutal. It was frightening when they arrived in your village. And this particular legion had a symbol as their icon. It wasn't the Nike swoop, it was a boar's head. Yes, a pig. There are places we don't want to go to because they make us uncomfortable. They might be places in our families or places in our society. Maybe going north doesn't make you terribly comfortable. I don't know. I can understand that being one of them. But anyway, the other side was not the place to go. And one day the disciples are listening to their rabbi saying, "We're going to the other side." Did the disciples think, has he forgotten? Maybe he doesn't know. And then maybe they thought, but our rabbi seems to think differently to everybody else. Maybe he somehow thinks that the other side is his side as well. Maybe he doesn't think that there are sides. Yeah, maybe he doesn't do sides. And so in Mark chapter 5, they go over to the Decapolis. They left behind the large crowds and the successes. And here, no welcoming party, just one man, disturbed and desperate, and a herd of pigs. The man was demon-possessed and lived in the caves. He was so wild, self-harmed and in torment, and he saw Jesus in the distance, ran and fell before him. Here was this clash of kingdoms, a battle between the forces of good and evil, but it was no contest. The authority of Jesus is absolute. Now, verse 14 is what happened next. The pig herders, they weren't overly impressed with him, I suppose, after what happened to their herd, and they ran off and told everyone in the town and countryside, like everywhere. Have you seen what's happened? Come have a look at this. It's just crazy, man. And these herders were spreading the word about your man who came from the other side, and they didn't like it very much when people came from the other side. And when they turned up, what did they find? Well, here was this man, dressed and in his right mind. And they were frightened. They didn't start to ask for help. They didn't notice his power. They didn't say, "Come to my house." Oh, no. No, they begged him, "Go away." They didn't like it when people came from the other side with their own agenda. They were used to people from that side with a bit of an attitude problem and a bit judgmental. It didn't make them very comfortable. And so they begged Jesus to go back to his side and stay there. Verse 18. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed was desperate to go too. After all, maybe these guys would blame him for their loss of livelihood and livestock. Maybe they would throw him in the lake too. What was he to do? He didn't want to say goodbye so soon to this extraordinary man who had given him his life back. No wonder he begged him to go too. But Jesus had other plans. Verse 19, Jesus did not let him. "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." Jesus doesn't, with this reborn man, he tells him to go back to his family who haven't seen him for so long and just tell his story. That's all. He doesn't ask him to go preaching. He doesn't ask him to go out into the center of the square and to set up a stall and begin to tell everybody. No, he says, just go home. Tell Mum and Dad what's happened. Well, what actually happens, it seemed to me, that once he gets started, he can't stop. The man went away, verse 20, and began to tell them the Decapolis. Jesus didn't tell him to do that. Well, I suppose he must have done by the Spirit, but anyhow, off he goes to the Decapolis and he tells everybody he can't stop it. They got to hear this thing. All the people were amazed. That's what it says. So the disciples have had the first part of the lesson, but, you know, like myself, they're a little bit slow, so they haven't really got it all just yet. So let's go forward in Mark's Gospel and discover what actually happened next. Mark chapter 6. Jesus, in Mark chapter 6, is back on the Israel side, back home. Guess what? He's got a large crowd gathered. And at the end of the day, the disciples come to Jesus saying, they don't have anything to eat. Maybe we should do something about this. Have you any ideas? And Jesus miraculously feeds them. And afterwards, they collect all the food that was left over, all the bread that we read and thought about a moment ago. They collected how many baskets? 12. Well, yes, you see, there were 12 tribes in Israel, the people of God. It was no accident he chose 12 disciples. It was a statement showing that God was now working to gather a new Israel through him. And now 12 baskets extra. Yes, God is providing for his people. He cares. He has not forgotten. But do you sometimes get confused with the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the other lot, the 4,000, and what's going on? Mark chapter 8, let's answer that for us. Mark chapter 8, Jesus is back on the other side. This time, guess what? He has a crowd gathered. And they eagerly listen to him for how long? A full 3 days. And the disciples come to Jesus and say they don't have anything to eat. Did they? No, they didn't. Oh, no. On the first day, the disciples don't mention food. They don't say anything. The second day, silence. Third day, nothing. Why? Is there some lurking trace of attitude there? Something saying, let them feed themselves. They're not my people. They're not my type. I don't want too much to do with them. Why should we put ourselves out for them, for people like that? But we find that Jesus has compassion on them too. And of course, you know, he miraculously provides for them, around 4,000 people. 8 verse 8, this time they collected the leftover food and there were how many baskets? Not 12, 7. And how many tribes were there, the Canaanites? 7. What do you think Jesus is saying to his disciples? He's saying, there's a reason for that. There were 7 nations living in the Decapolis area, and Jesus is saying to them, yes, good news has come for the 12 tribes of Israel. I haven't forgotten about them. I care for them, their needs and their concerns. But good news has also come for the other side. It's also come for the 7 nations of Canaan. I haven't forgotten them either. I care for them. I love them too. And I want to meet their needs as well. 12 tribes, 7 nations. I love them all. The gospel of the kingdom of God is good news for everybody, even for those who are on the other side. Most of us prefer our side. Sadly, in church history, Christians have kept to their own side. They've had this tendency to think their side is the best side and not to be overly concerned with those who are on the other side. I think this morning of Africa, before joining SAT7, I served with the Africa Inland Mission, a ministry that specializes in the people in Africa whose language has never had the gospel. 900 people groups this morning have never received someone to speak the word of God in their own language. I was in Tanzania spending some time with AIM there, and spent a weekend with John and Nancy LaRue, an American couple who had been 25 years in East Africa. They told me they arrived in the beginning as part of a Timo team. It's a training ministry that AIM has for teaching and helping people go to live in a people group that have never heard before. They came from America to work under an African, two pastors who were leading this team of about 15 people, and they were going in to live in this tribal situation. It was very tough, full of black mamba, I remember him saying, so dangerous. And after 3 years, a little church had been planted and the people had come to know Christ, and the African pastors and their wives stayed, and John and Nancy prayed about what next. And they said, we really want to do this again. It's such a thrill to have, even in our lifetime, brought the gospel to one people group who've never heard before. And so they went to a second one, part of another team of 15 or 20 people who went to live there for 3 years, led by some African pastors. And at the end of the 3 years, there was a little church in that people group as well. And they felt God say, do it again. And now they were about to go home to the States to retire, but they had been part of seven teams reaching and planting churches amongst unreached people groups. They've done that with their lives. Have we got on our knees and spent one day in fasting to ask God for those who've never heard? May He move us to be willing to go to the other side. If that's in our family or that's in our community, that's good too. But don't forget those who are perilously unreached with the gospel. The first time Jesus went, He didn't do very much, so it seems. Just helped one wretched man, a bit of a hopeless case, and the rest of the people said, go away. It's not that impressive, was it? But on the second trip, in the account of this incident in Matthew 15, there were 4,000, and the miracle of them being fed. It tells us there were great crowds coming to Him, bringing the blind, the lame, the crippled, the dumb, and many others, and they laid all these people at Jesus' feet, and He healed them all. And then it says, they praised the God of Israel. That's what happened. This on the Decapolis side, the descendants of the Canaanites now praising the God of the other side, the God of Israel, singing His praises. The first time, met a demoniac, demented man, and got sent away. The second time, has laid out before us one of the most remarkable responses recorded for us in the whole of the New Testament. What had happened? Not much. One man told his story. That's it. That's all it took. And then the Spirit of God coming upon them. It's clear that Jesus loved the other side. He didn't divide people up into the right side, the wrong side, the good side, the bad side, or the inside and the outside. No, Jesus has commissioned and told us, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and you'll be scattered all over the other side, all over the ends of the earth. If you would like some contact with those who are reaching unreached people groups, ask for my card. I'll put you in touch with them if the Lord might want to stir your heart in that direction this morning. Thank you. God bless you.
We hope you've been encouraged and uplifted by what we've shared. If today's message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. Reach out to us or join us in person at Castlebar Christian Fellowship. You're always welcome here. Be sure to follow us for more sermons, devotionals, and updates. Until next time, stay strong in faith, love one another, and keep your eyes on Jesus. God bless, and see you soon.